Okay. Two guys are walking through a game park and they come across a lion that's not eaten for days. The lion starts chasing the two men. They run as fast as they can and one guy starts to get tired and decides to say a prayer. "Please turn this lion into a Christian, Lord." He looks to see the lion, if the lion is still chasing, and he sees the lion is on his knees. Happy to see his prayer answered, he turns around and heads toward the lion. As he comes closer to the lion, he hears the lion saying a prayer. "Thank you, Lord, for the food I'm about to receive." Oh, dear. That's so good. That's it. Thank you. Coffee's in the back. So I started the series on honour. Who was here for the first session? Who remembers? Yes, good. Some people here. So for anyone who isn't, I'm going to do a quick recap. Can you see the screen all right? Am I blocking it? No? Okay. So this was the scripture. Rachel, could you read this out for us?
Yeah.
Right to the top is the button.
Oh, up.
Yeah.
Hello, is it on?
Just shout.
Here
you go.
"Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited."
Yeah, thank you. So the scripture there we're honing in is number 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourself. And as last time in Romans 12, there's a few other flavours of the scripture here. So in the NLT, love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honouring each other. Genuine affection. Take delight in honouring one another. In the Message, it says, be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle, putting others before yourself. And in the Good News Bible, it says, love one another warmly as Christians and be eager to show respect for one another. And in the New Century Version, love each other like brothers and sisters. Give each other more honour than you want for yourselves. It's quite interesting of the different versions and to add a bit more spice. So, be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. We're talking about honour this morning. So, as a quick recap from last time, consequences of dishonour. Whoever you honour is opened up to you, but whoever you dishonour, you shut down and they're closed. Even if you don't agree with what someone says, you can still continue to honour them for what God is working with them in their life. Dishonour shuts down what God has put in a life. Dishonour can devalue people for whom God has placed a high value upon. And dishonour diminishes the church of potential operating experience in the miraculous, if there is dishonour at work in the church. Is this blocking a breakthrough in your life? Do you feel like you're in a dishonour cycle with someone you know? I'd encourage you to break that cycle, to turn into a culture of honour. So, what does it mean to honour? So honour means to show great respect or value, place value on someone or something, especially publicly. A culture of honour celebrates a person, celebrates who a person is without stumbling over who they're not. Not focusing on their failures, but focusing on who they are. We honour people for two reasons. They are made in the image of God. Everyone is. And number two, they have gifts planted in them from God, and the presence of God rests upon them. So we should honour everyone. But who does it say in the Bible we should honour? So last time, what did we focus on last time? Does anyone remember? It's a big clue in the middle. Yeah, God. So we first of all, very first of all, focused on God. And there was a saying, vertical before horizontal. We honour God first, and then we honour everyone to the sides of us. So in this series, I'm going to be going through all these areas here. So you can see on the left-hand side is family. That's what we'll be talking about today. And at the bottom, older generation. And the Bible says scriptures about all of these. At the bottom, world's best boss, boss in the workplace, authorities, the government. At the top right, church family. How can we do honour in the church family? Next one, church leadership. How can we honour our church leaders? And then the bottom one is everyone. All of these, there's scriptures for every one of these, which just show how important honour is. So, worthy are you, O Lord, to receive glory, honour and power. Honour God, vertical first, then horizontal. Honour God, then honour everyone else. So this is just a quick recap of last time. Honouring God, to honour means to give the highest regard, respect, reverence, admiration, adoration, awe, praise, submission, obedience, which are all due to Him. Worship Him with all our attitudes, affections and actions. And that's the scripture that we just read. So last time I encouraged you to go away and think, are you honouring God with what you speak? Are you honouring God with what you do? Are you honouring God with your thoughts? Are you honouring God with what you listen to? Are you honouring God with your body? And these were the questions that we went away with. So it's interesting on this. So as I preached this morning, I'm not preaching from a place that I know everything. I've got everything together. I'm preaching it myself as well. And it's a time of learning. And through preparing something like this, God speaks. And I've had an incident this week where my work stress is more under control, thank you, God, because with the actions that I'm doing. But there was one particular meeting where I was fuming at the end of the day. And my reaction was to kind of give my complaint to other people around me about the other colleague, that I thought she must be concussed to say what she was saying, because it was kind of really loopy and I didn't agree. But I got really angry about it, and afterwards the Holy Spirit just said, yeah, are you really honouring this lady? And I'm like, no, I'm not. So it's a mindset. So what I'm hoping for you guys through this is that through your life you'll just be prompted and saying, actually, are you following a culture of honour in your relationships, in your life? So this time we're going to talk about family, honouring God in family. And firstly, honour your father and mother. Now, there's four faces here. I'm very blessed that these are my father-in-law, mother-in-law and my mum. My mum's the top left, as you know, and Jean here. And you've got John, and this is my dad. Very rare photo of my dad smiling. Bless him. This is my family. So, in Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 3, honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so it may go well with you, and you may enjoy a long life on the earth. That's quite a prize to have, right? To be able to honour, and it's an important one. And Proverbs says, listen to your father who gave you life, And do not despise your mother when she's old. Very, very, yeah, amen. Very direct scripture. In Exodus, honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land of the Lord is giving you. I think this is an important topic. There's lots of scriptures on this. But one thing to note, even though our parents are not perfect, none of us are, honour your parents, love them, respect them, confide in them, be considerate of them, express appreciation for them, and demonstrate all these things by following the counsel and righteousness, by obeying these commands of God. So on the board, actually, Rachel's going to help us for just for a couple of minutes. What ways can you remember honouring your parents? Your parents may not be here anymore. So really, you know, what did you do to honour your parents?
Yeah. Drink.
There you go. Gifts. And that's very good, Duncan. I'm sure they were very blessed with that.
Yeah. Speaking positively about them to other people.
Yeah, very good. Anyone else?
Thanking God for them.
Thanking God, yeah. Colleen?
Make your family kind.
Sorry, to make them...
Make your family kind.
Make them kind. Be kind to them.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Nice. Good.
Love your family.
Love them, yeah. Spend time with them. Anyone else? Okay, that's good. Honour your father and mother, then you will live a long life, full life in the land of the Lord your God has given you. Isn't that a lovely photo? That is a real blessing photo of Rachel and her mum. So, tell them how precious they are. Pray for them. Speak well of them. Listen to them. Esteem them publicly and privately. All of these things we've heard so far. Seek their wisdom. They've lived longer. They have more experience. Support them, love and care. Provide for them. Forgive them. And give thanks to God for them. And it's not just about if they're here. Maybe your mum and dad are not here anymore. But we can still honour them. We can honour their memory. We can honour by doing something that was important to them. If it was important to your mum and dad, by you doing it, it also gives honour to your mum and dad. Give thanks to God for them. And then live your life to the fullest. So, you know, they sacrificed a lot. They gave a lot to bring you up. You can live life to your fullest and you can be honouring them through that. Okay, the next one is honouring your spouse. Would someone like to read that out, please? Or Rachel, could you read it? You've got the mic. Also, someone else would like to read? Barry, can you see from there?
Okay.
Yeah.
For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is head of the church. He is the saviour of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church, without a spot, or wrinkle, or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own body. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself.
Yeah, thank you. So we're going to be focusing on what it means to submit and what it means to love like Christ loved the church. And Keith brought this scripture up a couple of weeks back, and I thought, yes, thank you, Keith, for giving us an intro into this. And I'm just going to go a little bit deeper with this morning. So, husbands and wives, 9 ways to honour your wife. Oh, is that me snoring? Trust her instincts. Share your heart. Actually, just before I go on, this wonderful couple here are our friends from Chicago. I used to work with this lady here, and we love them very much. And they are very much deeply in love with each other. Communicate your love for her. Husbands, communicate your love for your wife. Be strong and also humble. Read her well. What's that mean? It means, what's that mean, husbands?
Difficulty.
Yeah, Barry, with difficulties.
Have supernatural insight into
Amen.
What's going on inside her mind.
There you go.
Or just ask.
Help launch her gifts. If she's got giftings, help her encourage her in that and launch those. Be a guardian and a gardener. What does that mean?
Nurture.
Yeah, that's right. Guardian's the protection, and nurture is the gardener. Compliment her.
Does it mean the husband also needs to pull the weed from his garden?
There you go, Duncan. Say that last bit again, Duncan. Yeah, that's right. Saying thank you. What about pray for her? Use words wisely. Assess the situation and use words wisely.
I think that's 10 rather than 9.
Okay. Wow, someone's awake. Okay, other ways to honour your husband. Compliment his qualities. Express gratitude. Affirm him in his role. Offer words of encouragement. Leave love notes. Anyone do that? Has done that? No?
Yeah,
Rachel and I have. Yeah, we have. Publicly praise him. Disconnect to connect. What does that mean?
Connect with some other relationships or ways of life.
If you're, you know, if you're very busy in your role and whatever you're doing, disconnect from that and then specifically connect directly as a couple. Because we all have roles that we have to play.
You might have to disconnect with your family.
Yes, correct. Yeah, making time.
Father and mother and
yeah.
Join to your wife.
Yes.
Sometimes you can be so absorbed with...
That's right. Yeah. Thank you, Celia. Mm-hmm. Listen actively. What's that mean?
Well, don't sit there with your whatever and
don't you? Yeah. I'm berated for this sometimes because we sit at the table and talking. And then I may have my phone, which pings, or I look at it, and then Rachel stops talking immediately. So until I put my phone down. Anyway,
it's also show your attentiveness.
Yes.
By
yeah.
Looking at
that's right.
As well.
Yeah, that's very good, John. Yeah. Pray for him. Give him time for himself. This is a very important one, you know. We are as a couple, but it's important that each person has their own time for themselves to do their own interests.
Man cave.
Man cave. Here we go.
Men's breakfast.
Men's breakfast. Gary. Yes, please, another one.
Train journeys.
So, train journeys. Yeah, walking in Cornwall. That's another one. But in the theatre trips for Rachel. But having your own time. I mean, I know a couple, a chap at work in India. He doesn't have time for his own, and he resents his marriage because he struggles. He feels trapped. He doesn't have that thing, that kind of connection. And I talked to him about the importance of having your own time as well. It's together. Live out sacrificial love. What does that mean?
At times, put the needs of your spouse above your own needs.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Christy. Duncan?
To sacrifice yourself is to help a friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Put yourself first.
Yes.
To help your friend.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Jesus... Yes, that's right. And Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. He sacrificed his life to help us to go to heaven and to approach God clean and be adopted sons and daughters. So, this really struck me recently. Love your wife like God loves the church. Now, the men here with wives, that's pretty powerful thing to... Love your wife like that God loves the church. Husbands, love your wives, seek the highest good for her, and surround her with caring, unselfish love, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. A sacrificial love. A serving love, being willing to serve each other. An understanding love. A faithful love. Staying faithful to each other. A caring love. An enduring love. A husband must love and cherish his wife, to die for her if necessary, even as Christ loved the church. He should include her in important decisions and consider her perspectives carefully and respectfully. Day by day, he should become increasingly sensitive to the leading with love, because he ultimately answers to God for the way he treats his wife. This is really important, and it's an important role. So, what about on the other side, the wives submit? A closer look at scripture, though, shows that the full picture of the marriage relationship also mirrors the love between Christ and his church. And this is quite a revelation that I've had recently, is the correlation between my relationship with Rachel and the way Christ loves the church and that kind of thing. And it's often talked in the Bible about the bridegroom and the bride, the church of the bride, and Jesus is the bridegroom, and there's going to be a marriage when he comes back. And the whole part of that, how it correlates with this. So when a husband submits to the Lord, leading his wife with a servant heart and nurturing her God-given talents, she can confidently submit to him, lean on him, and trust in his covering. Submission looks like respecting your husband's point of view. It means humbly sharing your opinion with him. It means not invalidating him, especially in front of others. It means trusting his decisions as a leader, whilst feeling empowered to give your own point of view, which is important because the two are one. Submission should be a natural response to loving leadership. When a husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church, then the submission is a natural response from the wife to the husband. Submission should be a natural response to loving leadership. When a husband loves his wife as Christ loves the church, then submission is a natural response from the wife to the husband. So, what does it feel like to love like Jesus loves the church? And what does it feel like to submit to this love? So I'm going to ask Rachel to come forward. So we've gone through quite a revelation in the last 18 months. We've been married 34 years this year, but June last year we had a very much Holy Spirit encounter when we were on holiday on our wedding anniversary, where God kind of just poured down and enhanced our relationship together, which was amazing. So through us having an even closer relationship than we had before, God poured down healing through that, through areas that needed healing. You know, we're a couple. Every couple has issues that you need to work through. But with the Lord, he can heal and bring poor things in. So anyway, so when we've been spending a lot of time with each other, and we've become a lot closer. And just in the relationship, God's been speaking to me like, that's what I feel like towards the church. And it doesn't matter if you're not married, it still relates to you, because Christ loves the church, you know, and he teaches us husbands to love our wives as he loves the church. And I think, what does that mean to me? And, you know, the feelings I have for Rachel is, I want to protect her. I want the best for her. I want her to live out her best life. And we just spend time sitting together, cuddling. We've been married 35 years. This is not alien, right? I encourage you that. Some of you might feel, I've just been married so long. You know, after time, we just drift apart. But it doesn't have to be like that. And God, in his supernatural power, enhances each part of our life. So it's just the kind of constant affection I have for Rachel. So how does it feel for you? So from your side.
It's a bit weird at breakfast when he pulls his breakfast chair right next to me. We sit next to each other, close to each other like this, like a breakfast. It's lovely. How does it feel for me?
Yes. So how does it feel to you? Yeah.
I'll be trying to work out, but it feels like I can relax. You know, when you don't realise you're holding a bit of stress. If Frank's got his arm around me or we're just together, my body just goes, like that. I can actually feel my body relaxing. So from that feeling, that's I'm feeling secure and I'm feeling loved and accepted. And you just rest. I just feel more at rest, maybe. Mm. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's hard to put it into words.
That's good. So then correlate that to us, the church, and God. You know, we can feel it rests with him. His love to us is constant, and we should just feel at rest and those kind of feelings. And
also valued, like I've noticed. I used to feel like Frank was always very giving, always has been. But I used to always feel like, give so much time to this person. I'm here every day, do you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, we talk, whatever, but it feels different. It feels like I've noticed in the busyness. Noticed
about you? Noticed. So you're noticed by God. You might feel you're insignificant, but you are noticed by him and you're valued. No matter what you do, it's who you are, not what you do. So.
And I also said to Frank the other day, there's something very difficult for us all to do, is I feel his love when he accepts me as I am. We went out for a day not long ago, and I was tired, and I know Frank wanted me to be, well, last time we were really happy and full of life, but I really slept really badly, but I decided that I was just going to be me. I'm tired, I can't help but be tired. I told him I was tired, but you know, it was fine, and it was just, you know, he loves me as I am. He has no choice really sometimes, but it's really important to love each other as we are in that moment, and not I only love you when you're like this, or when you're happy, I love you. God loves us as we are, however we feel, if we feel down, if we feel happy, if we feel sad, if we're tired. I get grumpy when I'm hungry. Frank loves me. Yesterday, I was hungry. He knew I was hungry. And so instead of finding his record shop, he took me to food. And we got to the menu, and I couldn't choose because I was too hungry. And he knows that thing. I haven't had it for a while. He said, "Should you have this and this?" I said, "Yes, please. Thank you."
So God knows what you need. And sometimes we don't know what we need, but if we rest in Him and rely on Him to provide, He will. And it doesn't matter what state we feel in, He loves you just the same. That's it. Anything else?
I think the main thing is it's that feeling of, I love spending time with Frank. I love talking with him. I love sitting or going out with him. We love going out to eat. We love doing all sorts of things. But it's that time. It's the times where we are just together. Yeah. There are times where we turn the television off and we sit on the sofa and we talk a little bit and we just sit together. Or if we're out on holiday, or it's that being together. It's not actually necessarily the communication of what we're saying. It's just the being together. Mm. And I think that reminds me, my best times are like that when I'm with Frank, but also if I'm with God and I've been praying or worshipping and I'm just being with him, I'm just laying there, I'm not necessarily praying and I'm not necessarily thinking, I'm just in his presence. And that's the best times. That's the best times, just being together.
The intimacy. We have a God who desires intimacy with you, and just it's just not a distant God. He's really close, and just to lean into Him and rest with Him, that's what He desires. And we just need to learn to do that. It's a practice of learning. And I'm quite excited about Susan's course, and we're going to be like the course you're leading,
facilitating.
So it's going to encourage us in a closer relationship, which is what God wants.
Thank you very much.
Just the correlation between that. The many things we just do in normal life, how it correlates to what God is speaking through. He speaks through everything. We just need to be listening and aware. So, the last one. Honouring children. Honouring our children. A wonderful picture of my two here. We've grown up now. That was Wichelstow, I think, at the pub. Ephesians 6:5. Fathers, don't exasperate your children, but raise them up with loving discipline and counsel that brings the revelation of our Lord. So, ways to honour your child. Demonstrate unconditional love and encouragement. Pray for them. Give them your time. Give them your ear. Don't interrupt. Be a good listener. Don't always think that you have the answer. Let them, offer them a role to play. What's that mean?
Someone's got to load the dishwasher.
Exactly. Don't just, it's very easy as parents just to do everything, isn't it? It's good to encourage them to take responsibility and do something and let them. Don't laugh, offer praise. So when they do something wrong, don't laugh at them and make a mockery, because that will make them sort of shrink back. Offer praise. Celebrate achievements. Demonstrate trust. Give them space to grow. We all grow by making mistakes. Things that go well sometimes, and things that don't go well, we all grow in those. Give them space to grow. Proverbs 22:7 in the Amplified. Train up a child in the way he should go, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a lovely scripture. So what's next? so we wrap up, we need to honour God with your whole life. So this morning we just talked about family, and that could extend to other families as well, sisters, brothers, uncles, cousins. So honouring people, you had the taste of what it means to honour people this morning. So let's move forward and pursue a life full of honour. And I'm going to encourage you, as you later today or through the days, examine your life, your thoughts, your actions, your speech. Is it honouring to the people? Is it honouring to God? Ask yourself, are my thoughts honourable? Are my actions honourable? Is my speech honourable? And ask Holy Spirit to help you. He is our helper. We couldn't do a lot of this without him. And he is the enhancer of all our relationship and everything that you do. We need to rely on him. Like he supernaturally did for our relationship last year, where I don't think that wouldn't have come just by trying and just spending time. That needed a supernatural tsunami of love which just poured in.
And some obedience.
Yeah, actually there was some obedience. So I had a word from God the month before when I walked in Cornwall. I stayed in Boscastle. Anyone know Boscastle? Actually, it's quite a dark place. It's a very dark place. And I stayed in this hotel there, but God gave me three dreams. And I need to ask him to remind me of one of them. But the very first one, was about my relationship with Rachel and how we needed to be closer together. And I had to initiate that. So I came back from holiday, from the walk, and decided to be obedient in that. And then the floodgates opened, basically, that holiday. So yeah, being obedient, asking Holy Spirit, and then being obedient to what he says. And you know, if you're not obedient the first time, he's very gracious. He'll come and nudge you again and say, you know, love and appreciate your family and your role in it today. I'm very encouraged when I see many of you operating in your families. Susan and Keith helping Jonathan and family, the kids there. Celia, I'm blessed by how you just are so committed to Catherine and your family and how you help. It's really demonstrating huge honour. And other people see that. Just as some example, I could probably go around everyone, but we're not going to do it this morning. But that's just two I wanted to raise. So today, I declare a spirit of honour over you and in this place as a church. Let us be a church, a people that value honour. Embrace it and represent Jesus to the world.